Where did we get the scripture passage today, or why am I preaching from 1 Peter 1:18 and 19? It's because during the Easter week this year, I was invited to speak at First Baptist Church Sun City West on Friday. They have a Holy Week. They start on Monday, go through Friday, and they have lunch all every day except Wednesday, and they meet Wednesday night. But they assigned me the Friday service and gave me the scripture. And so I turned, as Ron had read it a moment ago, and I read 1 Peter, and I'm sure I've preached from 1 Peter many times, but I've learned something about getting older. I'm not getting old. Old is a state of mind. Young, you know, getting older is a state of the body. It's a biological fact. You're going to get older until you die. So I determined I'd continue to get older, but I'm not going to get old. It's a state of mind. But I've learned that you always can learn something. Now, folks, I've been preaching for 57 years. And I've talked about the blood of Jesus. That's very important. Amen? Amen? He shed his blood for us. But when I read the scripture passage, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, as Ron had read it a moment ago, in 19 he says, "But with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." And the word precious jumped out at me. And then the word blood, and I thought, I have been preaching all of these years, and I've not done a study on blood. Never have. I mean, I take it for granted. I get myself, my hand, I'm going to bleed. I take it for granted. We take blood for granted. For instance, I'm going to in a moment ask you a question that I finally asked myself that has never been asked by anybody to me, nor have I ever asked anybody that question. And I'm going to ask you that in just a moment, so hang on. And I don't think there'll be a person in here that has ever asked that question or had it asked to them. I think I can guarantee that. If it's so, you raise your hand once I tell you. But first of all, I'm going to ask you, what is your blood type? What is your blood type? Anybody O negative? Anybody O negative? You're O positive. A positive, all right. Anybody know who? Anybody know what the universal blood is? Donor? O negative. Do you know how many people have O negative blood? About 6.6 of the population. It's one of the rarest bloods, but yet it is the universal blood that can be given to every single living creature on the face of this earth. It's the blood that they carry on the medevac helicopters because they don't have to start trying to wake up somebody to say, what blood do you need? They can give them O negative, and it works. It works. Now, we who are O negative, I found out something. I knew the blood donor part of it because, you see, I was a member of the blood donor club at 19th Avenue Baptist Church where I was pastor for many years, and we formed a blood donor club with Urban Memorial Blood Bank, and I have something that was given to me in 1979, a award of appreciation for gifts of life, my 5-gallon blood donor award. I mean, we were really putting it. They would call me because I'm O negative. They would call me, you can give blood up to 5 times a year. And on the very day that I qualified for giving another pint, they would call me. But the reason I really loved to go over there was they had the best patriots in the world, man. Fantastic. I used to want to, I used to want to go over just to get blood, get my donut and my coffee and stuff. O negative. It dawned on me one day that, hey, the blood I give, I don't know where it goes. Of course, it was saved for our church, but close to the end of the year, they would contact the church and say, you've got X number of pints of blood still stored in your name. Could we use them now? They're not going to be usable in another few weeks or whatever, and we'd give them permission to use it. I don't know where it went, but I know this. I would hope and pray that the O negative blood I gave helped some baby. And by the way, that's what they use for babies. Baby, newborn babies and all, they'll use O negative if they need blood. And I thought, I wonder how many lives were allowed to continue to live, maybe even to senior adult age, because somebody, including myself, gave O negative. Never know that, but I know they benefited from it. Precious blood. But I got news for all of us. Every single one of us in here carries precious blood in your body. Now, I'm not talking about the blood of Jesus. We're going to get there in just a moment. I'm laying the groundwork. But listen to this. In my research, what is blood? To the naked eye, blood looks like red liquid, but is actually made up of different components, billions of red and white blood cells and platelets, and a pale straw-colored fluid called plasma. Blood is unique. Now listen to this. Blood is unique. It cannot be manufactured, and animal blood cannot replace it. People are the only source of blood for those who need this life-saving fluid. Now, are you hearing that? Life-saving fluid. Until when? Until that person dies a physical death in this world. Now I'm going to transition. The Bible says, and Peter wrote clearly, precious blood. Precious blood of Jesus. And that's why the title of the message today is The Eternal Blood Donor. I've given my blood past this 5-gallon award. And my O negative may have helped somebody live out a long term or helped a baby make it through and live out and is still living today. I don't know that, but I know it could be true because that's what O negative is for, to give to anybody. Anybody can receive it. But now remember, O negative folks, the only blood you can receive is O negative. Do you know that? You can't receive anybody else's blood type. Now I'm going to ask you the question. What was Jesus' blood type? And I'm going to ask you that. Anybody ever been asked that question? What was Jesus' blood type? Anybody ever asked that question? No, I never asked that question. I've never had somebody come and say, Pastor, I've been concerned about something. What type of blood did Jesus have? You know why you need to ask that question? Dr. Neil Buffalo, head of the biology department in the college where I started as a freshman before I transferred to Washington Baptist University. All incoming freshmen, all incoming folks had to take certain biology courses, GE courses, general ed courses, you have to take them. Well, I was either fortunate or unfortunate, but the biology professor that I got to take that course not only was the head of the biology department, but he wrote the book we were using. I could never say, but prof, the book said, one of the students tried that on him one day, and he said, I know what the book said, young man, I wrote it. There were other professors teaching that same course, and once a month, Dr. Buffalo, the head of the department, would lecture us all. And one day, I was sitting there kind of half asleep. Biology was never my thing. I was sitting there about half asleep trying to make out all the big words he was using. And all of a sudden, he said, and therefore, there has never been such a thing as a virgin birth. Period. Never has been, never will be. Boy, my antenna went up then. Now, I didn't understand a lot about blood, and I didn't understand a lot about virgin birth. But I believed it. I believed it. The Bible teaches it. I believe it. I believed it. And he said, and the reason why. And then he used a lot of other big words. And I don't know, man. But then as I was doing my study, I know why he said it. After all of these years, I know he was a good biologist. He was head of the department. He wrote the book. He understood the body. It takes a female gene and a male gene to make a blood type so you can have blood. Now, are you hearing me? A female gene and a male gene. And here is Mary, never having known a male, did not receive a male gene. So therefore, biologically, in a test tube, and in a everything, you can't have a virgin birth. And here's what I came to realize when I read the scripture again, the precious blood of Jesus. Now, I can't tell you what kind of blood type he had, but I can tell you there was blood flowing through his veins, a precious blood that has never been had before Jesus, will never be had after Jesus. He was the only one to carry that blood type. And whereas my O negative might have helped someone live a long life, or at least live more years, that person still had to die. But when I came to know Jesus Christ, washed of his blood, and when I became born again, the spiritual blood that flows through my veins is the spiritual blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal blood donor, and I will walk with him for eternity because of a spiritual blood transfusion from a Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, whose blood can never be copied, manufactured, made, or used in any other way, but to those who fall down and call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Savior of their life, a new birth experience. And that's why Jesus Christ told the young ruler who said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "You must be born again." A spiritual new birth, a transfusion of a blood that never existed before Jesus nor will ever exist on this earth after Jesus. He has a one-of-a-kind blood count, a blood type that cannot be copied, replaced, or have a substitute. Amen? Amen. And where does that lead us then in our understanding of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where does that stand? Well, let me share with you a few things. Peter identifies Jesus' blood as being an extra special when he describes it as the blood of the Lamb, as unblemished and spotless. You know what the blood of the Lamb was used for in the Old Testament and through the Jewish history? Go back and read the book of Leviticus. They would take the purest of lambs without blemish, without spot, slay that lamb, and they would take the blood and spring it upon sprinkle it out on the altar in forgiveness of their sins. We don't do that anymore. We haven't done that since Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave his blood for us. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? You see, the Lamb of God, according to John 29:36, was slain for us once and for all. Now, that leads me to a conclusion, not the end of the sermon. Hang on. Not there yet. I have to conclude then that there's no other way for eternal life but through Jesus Christ. Jackie and I have a friend, and one day she and I were talking. And she said, "Well, Dan, don't you believe there are more ways to heaven than just through Jesus?" And I said, "Well, let me tell you. You might take a road up the mountain to find Jesus, but when you get there, there's only one door you can go through. And that door is Jesus Christ. There's only one way." Folks, we ought not to be ashamed of that. We become so intimidated by the world. We become so intimidated by political correctness that we're afraid. We're afraid to tell people that there's only one way. Jesus, in the 14th chapter of John, verse 6, in sharing with his disciples, what did he say? "I am the way, the truth," and what? "The life. No man comes to the Father but through me." There's no wiggle room there. There is absolutely none whatsoever. No wiggle room. I have friends. We have friends. You have friends. When we wake up to realize that, we ought to do a whole lot more praying. I had a kinfolk through marriage years ago in the South, and he didn't know the Lord. And I kept praying, Lord, send someone to tell him about Jesus. Here I am on the West Coast. He's way back there. Send someone. Tell him about Jesus. Send someone. Tell him about Jesus. And one day I started praying that prayer, and it's like the Lord just hit me full in the face with the thing that, look, you're praying because you live on the West Coast for someone on the East Coast to tell him about Jesus. Yes, Lord, that's right. Have you ever thought that somebody on the East Coast is praying for somebody on the West Coast to tell them about Jesus? And that somebody might live on your block, or you might work with that someone, or you might play softball out somewhere. You see, folks, we get so wrapped up about praying for people 100 miles away that somebody will tell them about Jesus, we forget that there's people 1,000 miles away praying that I will tell somebody here about Jesus. He's the only way. He is the only way. It was Simon Peter praying or preaching in the book of Acts. It said there's no other name under heaven where a person can be saved but through Jesus. While I was pastoring in San Francisco, I was teaching a young adult class. Well, as a matter of fact, I was young then too. They were all about my age. And I was teaching from John. And one of Carol raised her hand. She said, Dan, are you telling me? She said, I have a Jewish friend. She prays to God. She didn't believe in Jesus as the Messiah, but she prays to God. You're telling me that if she dies, she's going to hell? I said, no, I'm not telling you that. I just heard you say it. No, you didn't. She turned to the rest of the class. She said, didn't he just say that? Well, you know, what are you going to do? This is the pastor. The class isn't going to rebel. Some of them begin to squirm. Well, yeah, well, I might have, you know, hurt him. And some of them just stayed quiet. I said, Carol, I didn't say that. Well, I heard you say it. I said, no, you did not. She said, yes, I did. I just wanted to sucker her along, really, before I hit her with the truth. Carol, I didn't say it. Hold it. I didn't say it, Carol. Jesus said it. I just simply read his words. And she said, oh. Folks, the blood from the universal, the eternal blood donor means I've had that transfusion. If you know Jesus, you've had that transfusion. You carry in you a spiritual blood type that no one else besides those who know Jesus carry within their bodies, spiritual bodies. And that's what it takes. When I close my eyes to this world, the first person I'm going to see is Jesus Christ. Because he promised me that. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Jackie and I were called out in the middle of the night for a woman who was a member of this church many years ago. She was at the hospital. I got the call from the nurse saying, you need to come. She died. Jackie and I got up and we got dressed and we went over to the hospital. We'd been visiting her on a regular basis. And this nurse met us in the hall with tears in her eyes. And I never will forget what she said. Pastor, Christians die differently. Amen. Isn't that great? Christians die differently. Some of you may remember her, but one of her favorite stories about her father was when she was growing up, she would ride with him in the buggy, and she said, my father taught me to never say, whoa, to the horse in the middle of a mud puddle. You know what happens when you say whoa to a horse in the middle of a mud puddle? They get stuck. She said, he taught me no matter what, you forge ahead. You forge ahead. Isn't that great? Great. She went on to be with her Lord. I found that to be true. You that work in hospitals, you just know that the Christian, you know, people ask, Pastor, aren't you afraid of dying? I say, well, let's get something straight. I fear the manner in which I'm going to die. I've been around too long and visited in too many hospitals and convalescent homes and all. Folks, you know, just take me home, Lord, when you get ready. I don't want to have to go through the process. But death itself has no room in my life. It really doesn't. I told the nurse that was involved in my rehab, if you had heart surgery, they encourage you to go for heart rehab. And I used to say to folks, well, I'm going to rehab. And Jack would say, be sure and put blood before that. I mean, cardio before that. Okay. But we were talking about this, and I said, you know what? I know where I'm going when I die. So I'm going to, for all of my life, I'm going to live till I die and be surprised when it happens. Just going to enjoy life until I die and be surprised when it happens. The Lord's going to take me home one of these days. Amen? How can I be assured of that? Because I've received a spiritual blood that cannot be copied by anyone else, the blood of Jesus Christ. So I don't have to worry about what his blood type is. I asked Jackie when I was preparing this message. I said, sweetheart, what's your blood type? She said, I don't know. I said, that's all right, baby. I got you back. I got the old negative. I can give it to you if you need it. Don't need to know your blood type. Wouldn't it be great if we as Christians were as eager to donate our blood? And by the way, all of you, no matter what your blood type is, it wouldn't hurt if you're qualified to go give a pint. Not if you gave two pints, I said. But it wouldn't hurt. People need your blood. And I mean that seriously. Give a pint of blood. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we would wake up to realize that we have the ability to share with others a life-saving blood that cannot be gotten anywhere else. How many of you have ever been a part of the Faith Evangelism Ministry Program? Well, not a program, but a ministry outreach. Faith is one of those where they help you understand how to share the gospel. And it's made up in such a way that you don't threaten people. You ask them or their opinions. One of the things you say is, in your personal opinion, what do you understand it takes for a person to go to heaven and have eternal life? Some of them will put you down or whatever. But it makes, you're asking them. Well, one of our church members, she happened to be our church pianist there at Love, where we had faith program, faith ministry going, played a piano, great Christian lady, never could get her to come, and it's a very intensive study and ministry, and she wouldn't go for that, but every single Sunday for 10 years, she would hear me use that and share that about, ask people, in your personal opinion, what do you think it takes for a person to go to heaven and have eternal life? And that clicked with her. One day, she came in, and she was just bubbling over, and she said, Pastor, I was having lunch with one of my friends, and she told me that she had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and she had probably 6 months, 8 months to live. And as we sat there, she said, I wanted to tell her about Jesus, but I was trying to think of how to approach to tell her about Jesus. And then I thought, I know how to do it. She called her friend by name and said, in your personal opinion, what do you understand it takes for a person to go to heaven and have eternal life? And her friend looked at her and said, you know, I've always wondered about that. And Mary said, I'll share with you. And you know what she did? She did what everybody's encouraged to do. She simply shared her own testimony. This is how I came to know Jesus. And her friend bowed her head, surrendered her heart, accepted Christ. And 6 months later, she went on to become personally acquainted in a brand new way with the eternal blood donor. Folks, I was only 8 years old when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I didn't understand the virgin birth. I just believed it because it was taught. You know, that was back during the days when television and all this stuff didn't educate young people as young as they educate them today. I didn't understand about all that. Never. Didn't concern me. The older I got, the more I began to understand it. I was 8 years old. But I knew this. When I came down that aisle, told my pastor that I'd accepted Christ, I was listening to a radio preacher. My mama had the radio on, listening to a Baptist preacher sharing on the radio while she did her ironing. And I didn't have anything to do that day. It was a hot, humid afternoon. So I was sitting there with a pocket full of crackers, munching on them, listening to them. I was just bored, didn't have anything else to do. And at the close of that message, he said, I know there are people out there. I'd been raised in church. Folks, if you had asked me 5 minutes before that, do you love Jesus? I would have said, yeah, I love Jesus. Sing all the songs, and I believed it, and I loved him. But when that pastor gave that invitation, I felt something in my heart never felt before. And I bowed my head, and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Got up in an excited way, went in and told my mama, I want to be baptized. She said, son, you need to. I said, no, I've already done that, mama. I've already done that. I want to be baptized. She said, well, you tell the preacher. On Sunday morning, the invitation was given. I walked that aisle, and Brother Harrington said, Danny, do you know John 3:16? Oh, yeah. Would you say it for me? Oh, yeah. When I said it, he didn't stop there. Tell me what it means. Folks, I could do it. I could do it. I had been born again. And in my spiritual veins flowed a blood type that has never before been before Jesus, nor will it ever hereafter exist. He was one of a kind. One of a kind. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The only way you'll ever accept that is not by being able to prove it in a test tube. It's accepting and feeling God's Spirit and that new transfusion of blood coming through your life and in your soul for the rest of your eternity. You walk with Him. I can today feel happy because hopefully and prayerfully, and I think it did, help some baby survive childbirth and continue forward. Help some person whose blood type could not be matched at that moment, but my O negative was there for that person. I can take joy in that. But I take a whole lot more joy in the fact that God has given us all the ability to share how to receive an eternal blood.